Hi everyone, Alistair Willis here, Music Director of the South Bend Symphony. Welcome to our second Aha with Alistair podcast of the season. One of the things I love about music is its variety and contrast. So it seems only fitting that we're now offering Tchaikovsky's Pathétique, seeing as we played Berlioz's Fantastique at our last concert. I used to think Berlioz must have had quite the ego to call his music Fantastique, and Tchaikovsky so humble to call his Pathétique. Let's return to that thought in just a moment, and begin by exploring the two pieces on our first half, for which we welcome back to South Bend two brilliant composers, Quinn Mason and Malek Jandali. Our concert opens with Quinn Mason's piece Shine Time, which will be the fourth piece of Quinn's that the South Bend Symphony and I have performed. Shine Time was premiered exactly 1 year ago by the Plano Symphony in Texas, who commissioned it. The title refers to the saying, "Time to shine," meaning a moment to really show off an ability or a skill. It's an energetic and virtuosic showpiece for orchestra, and has an infectiously catchy rhythm which I've now had in my head for several months. See if you can spot it. Did you get it? As we can hear, it's a bright, joyous piece where the whole orchestra gets to shine. And incidentally, we will be giving the second ever performance of it. We can't wait to play it for you. We're also excited to present the second ever performance of Syrian-American composer Malek Jandali's Concerto for Clarinet and Orchestra. It was premiered 2 years ago by the Fairfax Symphony in Virginia. It will be the second piece of Malek's that we've performed here. Malek Jandali composed his clarinet concerto in response to societal injustice and is dedicated in memory of all victims of injustice. It's a call for solidarity, peace, and human rights. In the concerto, and indeed all his works, Malek's aim is to preserve the rich Arabic musical heritage of his homeland, Syria, and ancient Mesopotamia. His integration of Arabic maqams, which are scales or modes, with Western orchestral forms and instruments, results in a unique and fresh sound that to me is utterly fascinating. And with its dedication, it takes on a deeper meaning. 1 year ago, I had the honor and privilege to premiere Malek's Syrian Symphony, his first symphony of eight, with the Qatar Philharmonic Orchestra. Those in the audience were mainly Arabs, experiencing their passionate response to hearing his melodies, melodies that they knew, melodies that specifically represented the revolution in Syria and moments in history. It was an extraordinary example of the power of music to connect and unify. I was connected through music to an unfamiliar culture, and it was an incredible experience to unite with the warm hearts and beautiful souls of the diverse Arabic audience. Malek's clarinet concerto has been a similar journey for me. It too contains fascinating Syrian melodies and rhythms that are new to me. There are three movements, and it begins with a mysterious introduction that leads to the solo clarinet's high entrance, descending to a technique known as flutter tonguing. The flutter tonguing represents the pleas of the victims of injustice, and throughout the piece, Malick has other woodwind and brass instruments play flutter tongue as well. The first theme comes from a cycle of instrumental and vocal pieces known as wasla, which means connector. The second theme is an ancient Syrian samai. Samai derives from the word sama, which means to listen or listening. The clarinet soloist on the recording, Anthony McGill, said this soft theme is particularly moving for him and makes him feel as though he's stepped back in time, connecting with something much greater than himself. The second movement is a nocturne, night music. We hear six continuous variations on this old Syrian theme titled, My Beloved, How Did They Take You From Me? The third movement is fiendishly virtuosic for both clarinet and orchestra, complete with an acrobatic cadenza for the soloist. It ends with a vigorous, festive dance for everyone that offers a suggestion of light and hope in the midst of darkness. Let's hear that moment now. About our clarinet soloist, Anthony McGill, to whom we've been listening. Anthony is one of the most extraordinary artists I've ever met. He began his professional career with the Cincinnati Symphony, where we first met. He went on to become principal clarinet of the Metropolitan Opera, and is currently principal clarinet of the New York Philharmonic. Anthony played alongside Itzhak Perlman and Yo-Yo Ma at the 2009 inauguration of Barack Obama. Anthony has appeared as soloist with the world's top orchestras. He's in demand as a chamber musician and is on the faculty at the Juilliard School of Music. I've been watching his career unfold from afar, and we are so thrilled and honored that he's coming to South Bend. Malick composed his concerto for Anthony, and here's what Anthony said about it in an interview. Quote, "There are so many moments in this piece that really, really spoke to me deeply. And when I'm playing them, it makes me connected to something that maybe I wasn't familiar with before." Anthony goes on to say, "In the midst of the pain and violence and injustice in the world, all we are left with is the ability to pour our heart and souls into something more beautiful, something more powerful, so it can communicate throughout all time and live on. End quote. Speaking of pouring our heart and souls into art, segues beautifully to the piece on our second half, Tchaikovsky's Pathétique Symphony No. 6. Okay, true confession. Only a few years ago did I learn that pathétique doesn't mean pathetic. The old Russian word carries a meaning closer to passionate or emotional or impassioned suffering. And this symphony has become one of the greatest ever composed. Tchaikovsky himself said of it, and I quote, "I definitely find it my very best, and in particular the most sincere of all my compositions," end quote. Many critics recognize it as the pinnacle of Tchaikovsky's symphonic output, and some as the most truly original symphony to have been composed in the 70 years since Beethoven's Ninth. Yet, few symphonies in the standard repertoire have more controversy, mystery, and legend as to what the symphony is about. Let's unravel that. Tchaikovsky did admit that there was a program for the symphony, yet he refused to reveal it. "Let him guess it who can," he told a friend. That Tchaikovsky died 9 days after the premiere led many to wonder if his last symphony was some kind of farewell note. Or was the symphony about his inner struggles with his homosexuality, which he was unable to express in any other way? A cryptic note was discovered years after his death, which suggests the first movement was all impulsive passion, the second, love, the third, disappointments, and the fourth, death, the result of collapse. We know at one point that he considered the title of tragic for the piece, yet it was his elder brother Modeste who reportedly suggested the title pathétique. So, speculation has been rife, and the fact that we don't know exactly what the symphony is about is perhaps one of its greatest gifts, as we get to make up our own minds. The first movement immediately offers a world of bleak despair and crushing intensity. It starts with the lowest instruments, the double basses, and a solemn melody in the bassoon. This melody, played faster, becomes the first theme of the exposition. After the movement's first climax, the tension subsides before the yearning of the second theme. Musicologist Edward Downes describes this theme as a recollection of happiness in time of pain. When it comes to dynamics, the loud and quiet indications in the score, in this movement, Tchaikovsky goes to extremes. There are moments when he indicates the standard letter P, which means piano, Italian for soft. There are moments where he indicates two letter P's, that's twice as soft, pianissimo, and three P's, pianissimo. But there's a moment where he writes six P's, and I can't even begin to pronounce how to say that. I take that to mean as soft as possible and then some. And on the other end, he provides extremely loud dynamic markings. The second movement is an unusual dance. It feels like a waltz, but instead of three beats, it has five beats to the bar. A waltz with a limp, if you will. The third movement is a boisterous, positive, festive, and energetic march, which has such a swagger to it that by the time it's ended, I've forgotten about the darkness of the first movement. Tchaikovsky builds such a frenzy that many an audience has cheered prematurely at this moment. It's a trick ending, as there's one more movement which plunges us back into tragedy with its very first notes. The darkness, the longing, the sadness have all returned. All the themes in this movement go downward. There's no joy or affirmation. To me, it feels funereal, as if Tchaikovsky is leaving the very question of existence hanging. The orchestral texture gradually thins into silence and darkness, and the mysterious dying close of the symphony ends with the same lowest instruments the symphony began with, the basses. It is the quintessential expression of tragedy in music. Many years ago, I attended a performance of this symphony, and at the end, I heard an audience member loudly exclaim, "That composer must have had nightmares." Hard to argue that, and I've never forgotten that. Tchaikovsky declared he put his whole soul into this work. The tragedy, inevitability, and sadness of this magnificent symphony shakes my soul every time. Perhaps it will shake yours, too. We look forward to seeing you at our performance on January the 31st. Thank you for listening to Aha with Alistair on WVPE.org.